Let us pray. Father, amongst all the words spoken here this day, please let us hear your word. Please help us to be involved in your spirit and help us to go out of here being a little bit less what we are right now and turning into a little bit more what we ought to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to try a little something different than I've ever done in my entire life today, so it's either really going to be a great success or a real bomb. Bear with me. You know what theme that's from? The People's Court. And today, we're going to try and see if we have enough evidence to convict the snake in the Gospel or in the Old Testament reading, the book of Genesis. That's what we're going to try today. Let me bring you to the facts of the case here. You heard, Audrey read it really well. She said this, that actually the man was put into the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now the serpent, the snake, was more craftier than any of the other animals that God had made. And he comes to the woman and he says, did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman responds to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. And the serpent looks at the woman and says, real clearly, you will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. At that, the woman looks at the tree, finds it desirable to her eyes, desirable for eating. And she takes the fruit from the tree and she eats some of it and gives some to her husband. Now, is there enough evidence here to convict the serpent, the snake? That's what I've got to ask you. Starting there, is there enough evidence? Now, let me tell you something right now. I think a good defense attorney can get him off. Because the truth of the matter is this. All the snake did was come up to the woman and say, did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman responds. She says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the fruit in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Now, first of all, she embellished that a little bit. God never said, don't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Then what does the snake say? The snake says very clearly, looks at the woman and says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as wise as him. Go for it. Now, we can convict him of lying. Yes, but to be honest with you, even though he is in Scripture, he didn't take an oath on Scripture, so it's not perjury, okay? But he can be convicted of lying. He can be convicted of being a great used sales car salesman. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think there's anything that you can convict him for that he did really anything wrong. Because who actually did the eating? The woman did the eating. Let's go through the facts about her. First of all, the woman is, she embellishes the statement. But, a good defense attorney, I think, can get her off. Because the truth of the matter is this. When God says to the man, very clearly, you shall not eat the tree that's in the middle of the garden, lest you shall die. You know what? The woman isn't created as yet. The woman is still part of the man. The rib hasn't been taken out. So, you know, at the very best, a defense attorney could easily say, well, she got the information secondhand. It might have been, not correct. She got it maybe while being inside the man. But, there's problems with hearing on that. It's not her ears. But nonetheless, what goes on? She eats of the fruit. She's culpable. She eats of the fruit, and she gives some to her husband. Now, let's go into the husband. The man, well, he just eats of the fruit. And that's all it is. But when they eat of the fruit, what happens? They realize that they are naked, and they're ashamed, and they put on loincloths. There's a cover-up here, I'm telling you. Truly a cover-up. A cover-up that takes place within this to where all of a sudden the man and the woman, now, the snake, he's out of it. He's not involved. They're all of a sudden trying to cover everything up. The snake can be convicted of, lying. Yes, the snake can be convicted of being a good salesperson, but the snake cannot be convicted of actually, in this case, really doing anything beyond lying. But the woman, she's been disobedient. The man, he's been disobedient. Let's take a look at this. They cover it up, and all of a sudden, what takes place? The Lord, as usual, comes down in the evening. He's walking through the cool of the night in the garden, and normally he walks along with the man and the woman. And he comes down, and he's walking in the garden, and all of a sudden, where are you? He can't find them. And they're hidden behind a tree, it says. And he says, where are you? And the man yells out, we're here. But we're hiding because we're ashamed. We're ashamed. We're naked. And all of a sudden, what does God say? Who told you that? Who told you? Did you eat from the tree in the middle of the garden? And this is what the man says. Guys, we don't look good in this testimony. The man says, the woman you gave to me gave me the piece of fruit. Isn't it funny? I mean, it's actually almost comical. If you think that you're dysfunctional, you got it honestly. Because the truth of the matter is that, we are all messed up in the way that we are. But is that the way God wants to keep us? Is that where God wants us to stay? Does God want us to be people who sort of look at our way out, blame others, to sort of bend the truth, move things around? I mean, think about it. I'll never forget being in Fort Walton Beach. Up in the panhandle when I was at my last parish, it was quite interesting. There was a habit of people, everybody ran red lights up there. It was almost like red lights didn't count. And I'll never forget driving down this street. It was Beale that took me from my house down to the church, and there was an intersection at Hollywood, and there was a light there. And as I was going on my way to church one morning, all of a sudden I'm driving down. I get to that intersection. Just before I get to the intersection, The light changes, so it's green for me to go. But all of a sudden, I see two cars coming on Hollywood, both of them wanting to go through the intersection. One was turning left, the other one was going straight. And boom, they hit. Now, it's green for me. I stop the car, I run out, I go over to see if they're all right, and here are these two drivers. They've both gotten out of the car, so I know they're all right. And you know what they're screaming at each other? I ran the red light first. No, I ran the red light first. No, I ran the red light first. Who cares who ran it first? You're both wrong. And yet, how many times in our life do we try and say, well, he's bad, but I'm a little bit better than he is? How many times do we go and try and hand off the buck and pass the buck? We bend the truth. We do it. I mean, think about it. You're at home. This is what happens in my own household. Sally will bring up something, and, she'll start talking about something that, she's, let's just say we're in rigorous discussion here. And she looks at me, and all of a sudden, I listen as clear as I can to something she'll say that is just a little bit off within the charges she's presenting against me. And she looks at, she said, yesterday at 9 o'clock, and I said, wait a second. It wasn't at 9 o'clock, it was 8:55. And then from there, I try and bend the conversation around to get it away from where she's really going with it, so it's not my fault, it's her fault. None of you do that, do you? I think we all do that. And yet that's what God doesn't want us to do. I think the point of this story, there's many points of this story, but one of the points of this story real clearly is, you know what? We have to take personal responsibility. You know what? I am convinced the more I read Scripture, the more I live my life and try to live it in a spiritual manner. God knows you're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But what God gets upset about is not the mistakes that you make, not the things you do wrong, even intentionally sometimes, but it's when you distort the truth. When you change things around, where you bend it around till it fits your truth and not really the truth. Where all of a sudden you move things along. We're all culpable at times. I mean, how many times have we received or sent out an email that reinforced our position on something without checking whether it's true or not, but sent it out anyway because, you know what, it went to where I wanted it to go. You know what? You're culpable if you do that. You're participating in something that's not truthful. And yet all of us do it, don't we? How many times do we pass on a story to somebody else that, you know, makes them sound good and me makes them sound bad and me sound good. So I'm going to repeat this story. You know, you would call that gossip. But really what it is, it's distorting the truth. And God wants us to be personally responsible with the truth. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is really important. And it's not the truth as you see it. It's truth and how it is. And truth is something that we have to be about, striving for truth in every situation in our life. Not necessarily always striving for perfect facts, you know, 8:55, not 9 o'clock, but the truth of the matter is. What's the truth of the matter? When things aren't working, we have to own it. You know, and in recovery from alcohol, I'll be real honest with you. You know, I remember 26 years ago, I went through my fifth step where I went through and, you know, basically had to confess everything that I'd ever done. And, you know, I went through and confessed it to this other person. I got done with it. And to tell you the truth, when I got done with my confession of everything I'd ever done in my entire life, I got in the car to drive home. And as I drove away, you know what happened? I immediately remembered more stuff. I called the guy right away. I said, do I need to come back? I got more stuff. And he looked at me and he said, if you come back now, you'll be here for another 5 days because you got more stuff than you even gave me with this. The truth of the matter is we all make mistakes. But it's moving towards the truth of it all, living in truth, striving in truth. And so many of us think, oh, we'll only get to that truth when we get to that place where there is no longer the bad. You know what? I'm convinced of this too, and this scripture teaches it. Think about it. The good and the bad have to go together. Jesus says it real clearly in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, what does he say? When the enemy comes in at night and sows weeds in the field, and so the workers come in and say, do we need to go out there and rip up those weeds? And he says, the master says, no, don't rip them up, because if you rip up the weeds, you're going to rip up some of the wheat. Leave it till later. The angels will sort it out. You just stay to be integral and take care of your own integrity. In other words, hold to your own truth within inside yourself, the own truth that God has given to you, the truth that you know is truth, the truth that you can back up, the truth that has facts behind it, yes, but reality behind it, not something that you've made up in your mind. We all have bad neighborhoods up here. We all need neighborhood watch up here. And so therefore, we have to live in a way that sort of raises it up, and where we know we've really gotten the truth is when all of a sudden there's a kindness to those facts. Where there's a love to those facts. Where you're not so much trying to get to where you're wrong and I'm right or I'm straightening you out. But rather where, listen, I just want you to know so that you can be corrected so you can move along your way. Truth isn't something that gets somebody else. Truth is something that raises you up and hopefully raises the people up around you. You know, Jesus says real clearly. He says real clearly, he says, you know, it's not what goes into your mouth that makes you defiled. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you defiled. How many times in my own life have I had things come out of my mouth that truly defiled me? Defiled me in my own little way, where I even knew it. But by God, I wanted to be that way because I wanted to be right. And I wanted to get them straightened out. So let me move the facts around a little bit. Let me move the truth around. Let me actually throw the truth out and just move the facts around so it works for me. I mean, think about it. Good and evil somewhat live together because it's within that place that truth is found. Even though it's difficult, we find the truth, and we live out the truth, and we are road tested to live in that truth. road tested to live in that truth. If you don't believe me, look at what the scripture says this morning. If good and bad aren't supposed to stand next to each other, then why did the Holy Spirit drive Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? And then here he is. He's in the desert. I don't hear him and the devil arguing. I hear them talking. But Jesus not buying what the devil said. If you think that's one, think about it. Here, the woman. You got a talking snake coming up to you and you don't think something's wrong with that? And yet she seems like it's supposed to be there. And just by the way, to tell you the truth, the snake never really gets due process. He's just commended that he's going to be on his belly his whole life, but he doesn't even get reviewed by God. The man and the woman at least get reviewed. They get due process. And in that due process, they come together and God says, yeah, you're making your life more difficult. There's shame in your life. You know, you were naked in your life. But somehow, maybe I can bring you back into where you're naked and unashamed again. But that's going to be where you have to participate in it, not just where I hand it to you. And the way that takes place is living out life where there is good and bad, but us overcoming the bad, overcoming the evil, and living in the good. Not to make ourselves righteous, but rather to embrace the truth that God has set out for us to embrace. Are you personally responsible? Are you personally responsible with your own behavior? To where you don't try and push it off on the other person, where you don't try and blame them, where you don't try and make it so it's all those folks' fault, but rather where you say, this is my part in it. And I'm less worried about those folks and more concerned in the place that I can control is me. I guess the question I have to say that's really brought to the people's court this day, could we be convicted in the people's court for being personally responsible in our own lives? That's what I got to ask myself this morning. Will I be convicted for being personally responsible in my life with the truth that is truly there, that you can recognize, that you can know? Because the truth of God is always filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't it interesting that it's a fruit that gets us in trouble, but it's the fruits of the Spirit that get us out of trouble? I pray that you eat the fruit of the Spirit this day. Love, peace, patience, kindness. To experience that truth. To live in that truth. Because when and only then will all of a sudden you become what you're called to be. Only then and beyond then will you continue to move forward. Only then and only then will you feel lighter than you've ever felt before. Because the hand of God you will be fully submersed in. And he will lift you up. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand with me.